Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder if we could turn to the Psalm 5 this evening. We're going to turn to Isaiah 40 and also to Hebrews 12. So we're going to do a wee bit of flitting about here for a wee minute. But turn over with me to the book of Psalms and to the fifth chapter of the book of Psalms. We'll just read from the first verse of the Psalm 5. I don't know whether we'll go beyond the actual text in the other places, but the Psalm 5, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. I wonder if we turn over to the book of Isaiah, to the chapter 40. And just to look at verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40. And beginning our reading at the third verse. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then turning over to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and to the verse 13, Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning our reading at the 13th verse of the chapter. It says, and make straight paths for your feet. We'll read the verse 12 just to get the count. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, you'll notice in those three portions of Scripture that there is reference to straight paths, or to a straight way. And many times we read in the Bible how it urges us to go in straight paths, because straight paths are indispensable to an ordered life. They are of benefit to mankind. And we think of the number of times here in the Bible that we've read of tonight where there's reference to safe or to straight paths. The psalmist prays that his path may be made straight before God's face. Then the prophet Isaiah commands, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then the apostle in the book of Hebrews urges straight paths for the sake of the disadvantaged and for those that are in need. So we think about straight paths tonight, and we want to just do a little study from God's word and what it says about the straight paths. Now, straight paths, the thing about them is that they are usually an advantage for us. For example, you think of how straight paths speak of security. They speak of safety. If you go on a straight path, there is not as much place. There are no corners. There's no little dark alleys that run off the straight path. And so it is a place of safety. And we think of how straight paths that God leads us in, they are always places of safety. It's always safe to follow God. It's always a dangerous thing to go off into the bypath or to go off the track that God would have us to be in. And we think of how the path, the straight path, is a path of safety. It's also a path of simplicity. You think of how there is there are no hidden corners, as it were. The straight road eliminates the unexpected. And we think of how the straight line brings us swiftly to the place where we want to go. So it is a place, a straight line or straight path. It's one of simplicity. It's one of safety. And it's also one of swiftness. It brings us to where we want to go. The corners slow us down. And they will slow us from overtaking because we can't see what's round the corner. Or it will slow us down because there's a slow moving vehicle that is going in front of us. So there's always the advantage to the straight path. And I want you to see that in this portion of Scripture, Paul and the writers here speak here of the straight paths. And we want to have those straight paths in our lives today. So we just thought we'll take each one of these references that we've read today one by one, very simply, and we will see the kind of straight paths that we should have in our lives. And first of all, we want to look at Psalm 5 and verse 8, and there is a prayer for guidance. And here is a prayer to God, this first reference to the straight path. He says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies, make thy way straight before my face." So here is the psalmist David. And we think of the context of the Psalm 5 here. Here was the psalmist and he wanted God to make a straight way before his path. Now in many ways David had led a very up and down life, a very rough life. There were many enemies. We think of Saul, we think of his own children who rebelled against him, like Absalom and others that rebelled against him. So in many ways his path wasn't straight. But now he wants God to make a straight path for him. He wants God to show him the way. And the burden of the prayer here is that the Lord would make a straight path for him. Now when he says that, "Lord, make me a straight path," he's not just meaning, "make me a smooth path." He's not really saying, "just make me an easy path." That would be a very convenient prayer to pray. But that's not what he means when he says, "Lord, make me a straight path." You know, in many ways, God's people are never guaranteed that life is going to be easy and life is going to be smooth. You think even of the Lord when he spoke to Peter at the end of John's Gospel, and he said to Peter, he said, "You know, there will be a time when your life will be taken from you." He says there in the Gospel of John and in the 21st chapter, and at the end of the chapter, he speaks to Peter and he tells him that life's not going to be easy for you, and certainly the end of your life is not going to be easy. And he says, Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, "He shall not die," or said not unto him, "He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" And earlier on in the chapter, The Lord had said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. So he was saying to Peter, there'll be a time when you will be captured. There'll be a time when you'll be carried forth and you'll die. And so he's not saying everything's going to be smooth. He's not going to say, he's saying to us that everything's going to be easy. He tells us that we're to take up our cross and follow the Lord. But nevertheless, God wants us to have a straight way. And he's not saying that it's smooth and easy, but what he is asking for is for a straight path that he can see where he's going. He can see down the line, because the thing about a straight path is that you can see for miles. And that's what he wants. He wants to know where he's going. He wants God to lead him and to guide him. And he wants to know that he's walking in the path that God would have him to be in. He wants to walk according to the will of the Lord. That's what he's asking for here when he speaks about the straight path. And dear friend, isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we need? We need to know what God would have us to do. We as God's people want to walk in the will of God. We want to do what God wants us to do. And we know that walking in God's will is always the right way, even though sometimes it brings us into difficulties. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. But not only is God's way a right way, but it is a righteous way. You'll see there in the text there that there is a Hebrew parallelism. Remember when we were doing the book of Psalms that we talked about parallelisms. And it's a Hebrew poetic device by which a thing is repeated in two ways. And you have one here in the verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. So leading in the path of righteousness or in thy righteousness and making thy way straight is the same thing. So if we're going to walk in the straight path, then it's going to be a path of righteousness. It's going to be a path of rectitude. It's going to be a path of morality. We're going to do that which is right. And we're going to do that which is according to God's will. Now, when I say that, maybe already sometimes, maybe somebody listening on, you're thinking in terms of legalism, because this is not the kind of language that we are used to in this day and generation. We recognize the propaganda of the world and the propaganda of the devil. And he wants us to go in a path that we desire or in a path of our own choosing. But no, God wants us to go in the path of righteousness, in the path of holiness, to walk before him in a way that he would have us to go. And we recognize in this day of immorality and in this day of sin, then God's people really do need to walk in the path of righteousness. He says, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. That means that we're obedient to the Lord. But not only is this a right path and a righteous path, but it's a real path, because God does have a plan. God does have a purpose for you and me. We read it so many times in the Bible, how that God has a plan and purpose. He speaks about that to his servants and leaves them the path. And you look at Joseph, for example, and how he's sold as a slave into Egypt and how he goes through all the difficulties that he goes through. And yet at the end of his life, he recognizes, as he speaks to his brother, and he speaks about how they sold him as a slave. He said, as for you, ye thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And God has a plan for you. God has something for you to do. God has a place for you to fit in. So that's a good prayer here. Here we have this prayer that we walk in straight paths, that God leads us in straight paths before Him in our lives. And we would do well to make that a prayer for our hearts and lives. But let's turn over to the second instance of the straight path. Turn over again to to Isaiah chapter 40 and look at verse 3. Now, this is the plea of God. First of all, you have the prayer to God, make straight our paths. Now, here's the plea of God. And he says in Isaiah 40, verse 3, he says, "The voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." So here's the plea of God, and really, in some ways, is an answer to the other prayer to make straight, to show us God's will, to lead us in paths of righteousness. And if we do that, then we will answer the second one, because we will make a highway, we will make a way, we will make a straight way for God to come. And that's what it is speaking about. The full verse there, as you see it, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Now, actually, there are no commas, punctuation like commas in the original. So there are those that say that it should read, "The voice of him that crieth, comma, in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." What he's crying is, "In the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord." And the reference here is to the pioneers, or to the ambassadors who went before kings in those days. And they would prepare, they didn't have highways, they didn't have roads. And you can imagine that there would have been rough terrain to go over, and maybe there would have been boulders in the way, or trees that had fallen down, or there might have been ditches that had been made, or something had fallen in the way. So these people went in front of kings and great personages, and they would prepare the way. They would make sure that everything was removed so that the king could get to his destination, and that he could get there swiftly, and he could get there safely, and everything was prepared for the king. In many ways, you know, in some ways it's like what we do today, is rolling out the red carpet. If there's somebody important that comes along, we roll out the red carpet for them. And in many ways, that's what it is. It's a lot more work for them in that day, but it's the same concept. It's making a way, making the king welcome. And that's what God wants us to do here. He wants us to make sure that every obstacle that lies between us and God, or lies between our nation and God, or lies between any group of people and God, and the church and God, or whatever it is, everything, every obstacle is removed. Every thing that would stop the Lord from getting us to us has been dealt with. The undergrowth is cut down, the trees are trimmed, and all the rest of it. And God has a ready way to get to us. And what a wonderful thing that is. We need that certainly today. We need God to come and to straighten things out. Maybe straighten things out in our lives. Maybe there are things to be cut down. Maybe there are obstacles to be removed. We think of what it says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 1. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We've got to lay aside the sin and the weight that doth so easily beset us, so that we can run the race. Now, of course, there is one way or one thought or one manifestation of this, that the fulfillment of this is the word I'm looking for, and that is in John the Baptist. We read in Matthew chapter 3 how that John is the fulfillment of this. We read, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And you can see the way that John prepared the way for Christ. He preached the message of repentance. He pointed to the Savior and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And we see that we need to make a highway for our God today. We need God to come near us and to get rid of everything that would stop the Lord coming to us. So we see that there's a purpose for this highway, and it is that we might have communion with our God. But then I want you to see the particulars of making the highway. Because if you look at the next verse, it says here that every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So this is how this highway, we need to make a highway, we need to get rid of the obstacles that stand between us and God, and are preventing the Lord swiftly coming to us. So what do we need to do? Well, you'll notice that every valley needs to be exalted. Now, the valley speaks of the low places. It speaks of the places that are in the doldrums, as it were, in the lowest. And there needs to be a dealing with these low places. You know, the Bible speaks about sin, and it speaks about it as being a pit. In Psalm 40 in verse 2 it says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." So what he needs to do is to bring us out of the pit of sin. We need sin to be dealt with, in other words. The low places speak of sin. And we need to be brought out of the horrible pit to start with. We need to be brought to saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there needs to be a dealing with sin in our lives day by day. The low places of sin need to be dealt with. And then he says the second thing, not only does every valley need to be exalted, but every mountain hill shall be made low. What are the mountains and hills speak of? Well, in those days, and even today, the mountains and hills are the places, the strongholds. That's the places where the castles and the lookouts will be built. That's the places where strong towers are going to be. And the hills then are the strongholds. And we think of the strongholds of sin and iniquity that there are in our lives. Sometimes there are those besetting sins that we hold on to. There are the strongholds, the things that we love, the things, the habitual sins that we hold on to. If we think about it in terms of what we said there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the sin which doth so easily beset us, the easily besetting sins, those are the strongholds. The strongholds of sin in our lives, Christ has dealt with them. They are put on the cross. But the devil still knows how to tempt us. He knows the weaknesses that we have, the places that are still there. And those strongholds, those habitual things, those sins that we easily run to, those things need to be dealt with in our lives if there's going to be a highway for God. And then the third thing is that the crooked places need to be made straight. Now again, the crooked places, if you have a crooked road, you can't see round the corners. You don't know what's up ahead. You can't see where the path is leading. And again, that's the thought that is here. We need to see, and very often that's the problems. We don't know what God is doing. We don't know the reason for things in our lives. And we get into so much problems because we can't see what God is doing. And we can't understand what the Lord is undertaking and doing with us in our lives. And so we begin to wonder and we begin to murmur against God. We need the crooked places to be made straight. We need to be able to see, as the psalmist prayed, Lord, lead me in a straight path. Show me the way that you want me to go. And this is the same thing here in making the crooked places straight. We need that insight into God. And the only way we'll get insight into what God wants us to do is to delve into his word and to spend time with him. And then the crooked places will be made plain, or the crooked places will be made straight, rather. And that's something that we need. And then the fourth thing is that the rough places will be made plain. Now, the rough places speak of the place where there are jagged rocks, or where there are rocks sticking out of the ground, or where there's rough pasture, or where the ground is very uneven. That's the rough places. And perhaps it would remind, if you go over a rough place, particularly in a cart that they would have had in those days, or even on a horse or on a camel or whatever it was, you would have been jolted about. And I think that the thought here in the rough places speaks about maybe the disagreements, the quarrels that we have, the times when we rub one another the wrong way. That's the rough places. And if there is disagreement amongst God's people, if there is not that unity, if we have want something against our brother or our sister, that's going to hinder the highway to God. We're not going to be as close to God as we ought to be. And we need, if we're going to have a highway, if we're going to have the straight place, then all of these things need to be dealt with. The valleys of sin need to be exalted. The mountains of the persistent sin, the strongholds of the devil, as it were, in our lives, those things need to be dealt with. The crooked places, so that we are able to discern what God would have us to do, those things need to be dealt with. And the rough places, the quarrels, and these things, those need to be dealt with if there's going to be a highway and a straight place, straight path for God in our lives. We see the purpose of the straight path. We see something of the principles in making the straight path. But then I want you to think about the pain of making the straight path. Because all of these things are not without effort and not without labor. You know, you think of Jacob, and Jacob had spent a long time in the house of Laban, and he had been prosperous, and he had been successful, and he had grown great in the midst of all of this, all these things. But that wasn't God's ultimate will for Jacob. God wanted to bring Jacob back out of that place. And when Jacob was brought out of that place, you remember the incident how that Rachel had the idols and she had them hidden in the midst of everything. And you remember how that Jacob had to give up the idols. Remember how he wrestled with God at Peniel. And the Lord put his hand upon the thigh, and he halted upon the thigh from that day onward. Sometimes it is a painful thing. We have to put in the effort, and we have to put in the labor in order for God to make that straight place for us. And do you know, but what a wonderful thing it is that if the Lord has that straight, if we're near to God, and if God is near to us, and we have that ready communion with our God, what a blessing that is in our lives. So we need to have that straight highway to our God. But there's a third reference to straight paths that we read tonight. And turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verses 12 and 13. And if we have a prayer for guidance, and if we have the plea of God, then this is a public goal, as it were. This is a public desire. Look at verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now here is a completely different thing. For ourselves, we're looking for straight paths to know the will of God. For the Lord, we're looking for straight paths so that he has ready communion with us. But for others now, there is a straight path that we might help them, that we might be those that have a care and concern for others. God, the Bible is a wonderfully social book. We are exhorted in the Bible to love one another, to have care for one another. And the great men of the Bible didn't lead just private lives, but they were those that had a care and a concern for those that were in need, and especially for the disadvantaged. And when it says here, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, it's not just people that have some kind of disability. It would refer to that. But it's not just that. It is those that are down because of the weight of life, down because of some depression that is upon them. For those that are going through hard times, and for those that are going through difficult times, it's a wonderful expression, the hands that hang down. Because you can almost picture the person going along, and they're bent over with the burden and the heat of the day. And the writer of the Hebrews says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. He says, make a straight path for your feet so that you can go swiftly to them, so that you can go directly to them, so that you are always there to help those who are in need. And that's something that the Bible emphasizes again and again. Here we live in a day and generation which is so individual, and we're focused upon the individual life. We're focused upon what we do and upon our family and upon our folks and upon what is ours. But the Bible speaks of God's people as a whole, and it speaks of the community as a whole. And God's people ought to be a people of care and a people of concern and a people of love. And we're to show that love, and we are to shed the love of God abroad in the world in which we live. We're to show it by our care and concern, and we're to show it by the preaching of the precious word of God. And you know, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. King Wenceslas, you know that of the carol fame of Bohemia. He is regarded as a saint by the Church of Rome, but nevertheless he was a man who had devotion to God in many ways. But one time he was making his way to a remote church, and he was doing so barefooted in the snow. And he had a servant with him, and the servant was lagging behind, and the servant was growing faint. And King Wenceslas saw that the servant was growing faint and that he was beginning to lag. And he said to the servant, "Just set your feet in my steps and follow me." And the servant was encouraged to go to that the Wenceslas would forge the way through the snow. And as he followed, Wenceslas was making an easier path for the servant. And what we need to do is make an easier path for those around about us, particularly those whose hands hang down because they're not saved. We need to make an easier path for them, and we need to have a care for them and pray for them, that God in his mercy would reach down and save them by his grace. So we think about the straight path. There is the straight path of guidance and God's leading. There's the straight path of communion with God, between us and our God. And then there's the straight path of service, by which we show our love and concern for others round about us. And how we need to be forging straight paths in this day and generation for the Lord. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just unite together, please, at the throne of grace. And let's call upon God for his mercy this evening. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee for the consideration of the straight path tonight. O God, make a straight path for us, that we might do thy will. Make us a straight path, so that we might have communion with thee. And Lord, make a straight path, that we might serve others, and those who are less fortunate round about us. Help us, Lord, to have straight paths in our lives. We pray that thy hand would be upon us, and that thou wouldst bless us in these incoming days. And, O God, we just say to thee, make our paths straight. Help us, even now, as we pray and seek thy face, that there might be straight paths, as we call upon our God for his name's sake. Amen. Well, let's just unite together, please, continue at the throne of grace in prayer.